Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to it. Hope everyone had a great weekend. It was not a great weekend if you're counting on the Nuggets and Avalanche to give you a lift. Well, the Avalanche were done on Thursday. Mark, first of all, good morning, Mark Schlereth. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Your parents get back off to Alaska okay?
Yes, they did. Got a lot of work done with poolside. Oh, yeah, we got a ton of stuff done this weekend. It was great.
Did you get a lot of work done, or did you just eat a lot this weekend?
No, we got a ton.
I think poolside got a lot of work done. I think you
no,
ate a lot this
I got
weekend.
A lot of work done, too, because I can't just, yeah, because poolside's go, get your ass out here.
He said poolside made you.
Yeah, poolside made me. No, we got a lot of projects done, which was a blast. It's just funny. Working with my dad because it would just brings back so many memories. I mean, I worked like an indentured servant, as a kid. So, it's payback. Get out there and get some stuff done. No, we had a great time hanging out, doing our stuff and then, ate like kings all weekend, just all weekend.
So the diet begins today. Because last week you were telling me,
last week,
I'm locked in.
Last week.
I'm already losing weight.
Well, I had lost 12 pounds in about a 3-week period. And then I don't think I put all 12 back on, but I guarantee I put at least 6 back on.
At least 6.
I promise you that. No, we ate, that was my niece's graduation and my other niece's birthday. And so every night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday was a celebration. So,
great. I don't know if we've ever seen a span of about, 10 days like we just went through with the Avalanche and Nuggets. Yeah, perfect music, Benny. Check this out. On Friday, June 4th, the Avalanche lost. On Sunday, June 6th, the Avalanche lost. On Monday, June 7th, the Nuggets lost. On Tuesday, June 8th, the Avalanche lost. On Wednesday, June 9th, the Nuggets lost. On Thursday, June 10th, the Avalanche lost. On Friday, June 11th, the Nuggets lost. And last night, Sunday, June 13th, the Nuggets lost, and we're eliminated.
Yeah. And mixed in there, the Rockies probably dropped 7 of 8.
I don't know.
Right. Who knows?
I have no idea
You know what that is? That's just piling on.
That's just piling on. Let's leave them out of it.
Yeah. And the Broncos probably lost a couple of OTAs, too, while we're at it.
Exactly.
So, anyhow.
We'll get the Chris Sims quarterback ratings later.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wow. What a weekend. Woo. Or what a week. What a 10-day span of just absolutely getting your nose rubbed in it, It was just horrible. Just horrible. It does go to show you, Mike. It just does go to show you, I guess, like the stuff that puts me on I Told You So Island, like the toughness part and like, hey man, I get that the Suns, hey, they're a more skilled basketball team. And I will give you that every day of the week. I mean, their backcourt, but not even their backcourt, their wings, even their center. I mean, you look center for center. I mean, when you're having that athleticism kind of affect shots of the Joker, bottom line is you're playing that to a quote unquote draw. That's a huge win for the Suns, but athleticism matters, but I'm telling you, effort and defense and how it leads to transition buckets, the way they protected the rim. There was a 5-minute run in the second quarter where they blocked every shot at the rim. It was Jay Crowder, and it was something to see.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on the Nikola Jokic ejection. First of all, here's what Michael Malone had to say about it.
I don't know. I think it was something along the lines of wind up, malicious intent, some other mumbo jumbo, but obviously, you lose the MVP, it's going to make it even harder to try to stave off elimination. the guys that were still in the game, the last three, the third and the fourth quarter, tremendous effort, tremendous fight, which was great to see. And we hung around. You know, overall, very disappointing to end the series, getting swept at home. This loss should sting. No one likes to lose. But when you find some time to reflect on the season, remember all the great things that we did this year. And I don't think people fully understand us even winning that first round series, how remarkable that was without a starting backcourt in place. So I'm not going to allow this series to define the season. And obviously, hopefully next year we can find a way to stay healthy and be better and see where we can go.
What'd you think of the ejection?
I thought the I thought several things. Number one, it seemed to be out of frustration that you're not getting the calls. I understand the wind up, you know, the smackdown. You know, there wasn't malicious intent. He wasn't trying to hit the Suns player in the face. I mean, he wasn't trying to, but I get that it was ugly. I understand. I agree with the commentating during the game that it probably should have been a flagrant one, but to get ejected in that moment, does LeBron James get ejected? Does CP3 get ejected? Does Kevin Durant get ejected?
Keep going.
Right.
I could think of probably 25 players.
Right.
Who would not get ejected in that situation.
And I just thought the ejection was a little over the top. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I don't flick on an NBA playoff game or any game to watch the officials officiating. I don't. I just think that was a little bit, you know, I understand letter of the law, but to act like there was intent to do malicious harm, I get the frustration, but you could see he's going after the ball. He's trying to smack the ball. So I just don't think there's malicious intent there. And so I think the ejection was ridiculous, but it was par for the course. I mean, with Joker or without Joker, they ain't winning that game.
They were down 8 when he got ejected. And, I mean, yeah, they fought. But, you know, I think Jokic, I think that frustration boiled over because he understood. Game was slipping away. Season was slipping away. And he just had it. You know, Michael Malone talked about after game 3 that Jokic is physically and mentally worn out. And I think he finally just snapped and said, I'm done. I'm out. You know, I mean, it's a tough way. You hate to see your MVP walk off of being ejected in the final game of a series at home being swept. Not a great look, obviously, but hey, I don't blame the frustration. He's been hacked at. He's carried this team. Eventually, even pretty mild mannered guys like Jokic are just going to say enough's enough. You know, enough's enough.
Yeah, I mean, I understood,
but
understood.
He still shouldn't have been. He shouldn't have been tossed.
He should have been tossed.
And Stephen A. Smith. Well, I'll get to some of Stephen A. Smith, who, you know, here's a guy who has not hesitated when it comes to trying to promote other people and their cases for MVP. But even he stood up for Jokic. Tell you what he had to say after the game when it happened. Also, the Nuggets and Avs gone just like that. What the heck happened? And who is closer to winning a title? The answer may surprise you. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, your thoughts on the demise, the end of the Nuggets and Avalanche playoff runs? Hit us up on the Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. We got the Morning Brew coming up here in about 15 minutes. So, which team do you believe is closer to winning a title?
In just our local market.
Between these two teams.
Just between, because you're not counting the Rockies.
No. I'm talking about these two teams, fresh in our mind, both of them effectively getting swept. You know, the Avs winning the first two, losing the next
right.
four, the Nuggets losing four. So, tough ending for both of them, but which team do you believe has the higher championship aspirations?
Believe it or not, I'd go with the Nuggets.
I'm kind of with you there as well.
Well, they're going to get Murray back. You know, they can adjust their backcourt. When Murray comes back, that'll be, you know, Barton should be healthy. I think.
Full year for Aaron Gordon.
Right.
Here under the system. Yep.
I just think that they've got potential to be, you know, to be they've got potential to be really good in the West. Two, you know, at some point, LeBron James is going to slow down. The Lakers, Anthony Davis he spends more time on the bench than he does on the court. Yeah, listen, do you have to get more athletic, especially in the backcourt? Yeah, on the wings, you need a little bit deeper rotation there. Like, you can't rely on Millsap and you can't rely on, I like Campazzo off the bench. He gave them great energy and great minutes, and he's a little turd out there, man. That guy is all over the place. But I think he gets exposed when he has to be a starter. You know, he's one of those guys that's much better off the bench. But I think Joe Sakic said it last week, we'll never be as deep as we are right now as an Avalanche team. And, you know, I just think it's the Nuggets. I think it's the Nuggets with Murray coming back. They have two legit superstars. They can be, you know, they can be a top three seed in the West.
Well, at least with the Nuggets, you still have the question of what if. The potential, the appeal of, hey, you get Jamal Murray back healthy for the playoffs next year. What is this team capable of doing? Seems pretty good. That's, I think, where maybe it leads you to think that maybe the Nuggets are closer, because with the Avs, there is that sense of this was complete. This is who they are. This is the team that was built to win a cup. And they lose in the second round. And so now you're just kind of left like, okay, what's the next gear for this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you're left wondering, you got to look at the whole thing. From the coaching on down, from the way that Joe Sakic built the team on down, and there's all kinds of question marks about, can you win with this kind of team? Or does the team fundamentally have to be changed? Do you have to do a major shift of going away from skill and explosiveness and dynamic players to maybe more toughness, more size, more physicality? I mean, that would be a major, major change of direction that would have a huge impact
right.
on how you construct your roster for next year.
Well, I think it comes down to this, Mike. When you're talking NBA, one or two guys can dramatically affect how your roster looks. When you're talking NHL, you're playing four lines, right? You're playing a bunch of different guys. And not that they all get the same amount of minutes, obviously. You know, your top line is going to get the most minutes and all those things. But there's a lot, if you will, there's a lot bigger change, I think, that you have to make. And, you know, it's almost like the way I look at the Baltimore Ravens. Like, if all the stars aligned, could they win a championship as currently constructed? Absolutely, if the stars align. It's kind of like the Broncos winning in 2015 on defense, or the Ravens doing it in 2000 on defense, or the Bears in 85 doing it on defense. It happens, but it's few and far between. And the Ravens, to me, are this team that unbelievably physical, run the snot out of the ball. They do a great job. But if they get behind and are forced to throw themselves back in a game, they don't have the requisite skill set as currently constructed to do that. The Avs are very much that way. They win a lot of regular season games. They're a lot of fun to watch. Man, they are fast, and they are all those things that we talk about, skilled and stuff. But when they get into playoff hockey and the game changes and the pace is, you know, it's physical and it's, you know, in neutral ice, and it just, it doesn't feel watching them the last 2 years that they are constructed to win playoff type hockey. And so I think there's just a lot bigger, just from the outside looking in, just kind of the 10,000 foot view. I just think there's a lot more changes that are going to have to happen for the Avs to construct their team that way.
All right, your thoughts on that? RamosLive.com text line 303-713-1043. Michelob Ultra presents the Fans Match Challenge, second annual, powered by the CoBank Colorado Open and benefiting the First Tee, Green Valley Ranch. It's going to be going on Thursday, June 24th, and we're pumped to defend our title. Schlereth and Evans versus Orlando and Sandy versus Stokely and Zach versus Tyler and D-Mac. We're going to be out there having a lot of fun, talking a lot of noise, but most importantly, raising funds for the First Tee, Green Valley Ranch, helping underprivileged youth in our community to learn life skills through golf. Now, the show that raises the most funds gets two mulligans. Now, we would just like, once again, the honor of being the show that raises the most funds. Mm-hmm. You did that for us last year. We thank you so much. We're humbled. We're honored. Not that we need the mulligans. We might even donate them, because that's the kind of guys we are.
Wow. Wow. Who are we donating them to?
Who
Sandy,
do you
know? Certainly not giving
Let
them
it
to...
Let it go, man.
Certainly not giving them to Stokely.
Oh, God, no.
Like Stokely,
Brandon Stokely and some other guy.
I don't care who Stokely's partner is. And I don't care if Zach never... I mean, I play 3-4 times a year. I don't... It doesn't matter. As much as Stokely plays, you know, I mean, he's like a golf professional. He should be embarrassed that he got whooped last year.
Well, I was on with Zach when he was sitting in with D-back the other day, and I said, Zach, let me just make this clear. None of this is directed towards you. None of this.
Right.
None of our cockiness, none of our vitriol, none of it. You are just an innocent bystander.
Correct.
This is all 100% directed at Stoke.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, it's not a Zach thing. It's
no.
It's a Stoke
thing. It is a Stokely thing. Donate now at denverfan.com/match. Looking forward to that. We'll be broadcasting live from Green Valley Ranch that day. Should be a lot of fun. Morning Brew coming up. Hey, now that the Nuggets and Avs are done, let's turn our focus to those Rockies, huh? That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
No one likes to lose, but when you find some time to reflect on the season, remember all the great things that we did this year. And I don't think people fully understand us even winning that first round series, how remarkable that was without a starting backcourt in place. So I'm not going to allow this series to define the season. And obviously, hopefully next year we can find a way to stay healthy and be better and see where we can go.
Michael Malone. Not afraid to use the injury excuse, injury card in the aftermath of the Nuggets getting swept. Did he use it fairly? Or does it sound like an excuse?
No, I think it's fairly. And yeah, you got to look back and see, you know, the good. But I think it's more important to look back and see where you're lacking. Like, I think looking back on the season in totality is great. Hey, man, we did some good things. But if you're not motivated by the garbage, you know, if you can't look at the defensive structure of the Suns versus what you put out there, not only effort, but just timing, anticipation, you name it. Like, that's one that I would look at and say, hey, man, if we're going to get to where we want to go eventually, when Murray is healthy, we're going to have to play a lot more like that team than we did our team. And I look at protecting the rim, what it led to in transition, what, like, every time the Nuggets got within five or four or five, you knew. I mean, I just sit on my couch going, there is no way.
Are you convinced that a healthy Jamal Murray?
No.
They win this series?
No. I don't think. I think with a healthy Jamal, they still lose this series. because of the other factors.
Well, like, then they've got to make some additions then.
Absolutely, they have to make some, and they have to make some subtractions. You know, they got to, I mean, Millsap, hey, yeah. Great career, man.
See you later.
Yeah, great career. They've got to make some decisions on athleticism.
Michael Junior Porter.
Yeah, he's got to grow up.
Yeah, he's got to make the leap, and I think he will. I'm pretty confident.
I wonder how bad he was, like health wise.
I just want him to realize there is basketball to be played and shots to be taken inside the 3-point arc. If this guy realizes that he is 6'11". And that he can go to the basket, drive into the lane,
He's tall.
Pretty much get whatever kind of shot he wants. Once he figures that out, it's going to be fun to watch.
One thing real quick. I'd like to see the NBA change the way they officiate the offensive fouls. When guys jump into defenders, you know, and flail up a garbage... That should be on the offensive player. That drives me insane.
How dare you?
I don't know how much more NBA playoff basketball you're going to watch.
Zero.
But one thing that was clear.
No, I'll watch the final.
One thing that was clear through these two rounds, NBA continues to be the worst officiated of the major sports, bar none. Not even close.
Soccer players watch that and say, man, these guys are soft.
Next on the Morning Brew.
For sure. I mean, there's always next year. It's always talked about. I feel like, I mean, I'm going to my ninth year next year and I haven't won. So I'm just definitely motivated and I'm just, it just sucks, you know, losing four in a row.
Wow, Nathan McKinnon's going into his ninth year. I heard that and I'm like, wow. Because he's only 25. But ninth year. Okay.
He's 25. How does that math work? When did he get in the, was he 12 when he got in the league? What is that? No. 10 would make him 15.
The Avalanche.
Wait.
He started when he was like 17, 18.
Your world frightens and confuses me.
These prodigies come into the NHL when they're, you know, they still got peach fuzz. They're not even shaving yet. So I've heard it. Compared suggested that this Avalanche playoff loss could be a catalytic event, much like your playoff loss to Jacksonville was. Do you see, you were there, you lived it, do you see any similarities?
To the Avs playoff loss and our playoff loss? Of course, the disappointment. You know, I mean, they won the President's Trophy on a technicality. Whoop de doo, Basil. That's great. Who gives a crap, right? But bottom line is, hey, again, we won. We were a number one seed, and we lost. You know, the bottom line is, they made some changes personnel wise, some places on our team that were weak, but it was one of those things that, like, we looked at our team and said, here are the things we have to do. Here are the things we have to dominate. We got to be physical. We got to run the snot out of the ball. We can't rely on finesse. I mean, just all the things that you think about. Not that we didn't run the ball then, we did, but you know what I'm saying. There was kind of a shift in attitude, but the bottom line was, we look at it like we should win three championships in a row, and this is unacceptable. So, yeah, I think there's some similarities there.
But I felt you guys, it was more of a, wow, what a blown opportunity. What a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't fundamentally have to change who you were. But
No. I mean, we had to change some pieces, though.
Pieces, but your whole philosophy didn't have to change.
The philosophy didn't change. We were constructed to run the ball, you know, to dominate that end of the game and to, you know, to eat up clock and to do those things and create big plays. But yes, that philosophy, no, but we had to change some players.
And with the Avs, I just wonder if you're looking at a full philosophical shift, which is a lot tougher to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
one year to the next than just a few pieces here and there. Next on the Morning Brew.
Pitch, and Suarez hammers it to left, way back and gone. 3-1 Reds on the two-run blast by Suarez. It's his 14th home run of the year.
Well, hey, now that the Avalanche and Nuggets are done, we can spend more time paying attention to the Rockies.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Probably not, right?
While you were focused on the Avalanche and Nuggets and Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke and Aaron Rodgers and all that, the Rockies continue to be god-awful on the road. They just went through a 1-5 road trip, getting swept 3 in Cincinnati, 11-5, 10-3, and 6-2. The Rockies come home to face the exciting Padres with a road record of 5-27.
Is that good?
5-27. Arizona, by the way, is 9-20. The Rockies, for all their problems, are still 4.5 games ahead of Arizona, which
right.
is, boy,
that's we bad. Just we thumb our noses at Arizona.
That's bad.
Look how bad they are.
At least the Rockies are good at home. So the Rockies are home for a while, and I suppose this is what the summer is about when it comes to the Rockies. Don't pay any attention to them when they're on the road.
Uh-huh.
They play pretty well at home and enjoy the teams that come into town.
Yeah, I mean,
just pay attention to them when they're at home.
Yeah, just
on the road, find something else to do. Seriously. Next on the Morning Brew. Tell me
that's good.
Good, Benny. Good for you. Boy, the Packers just, I guess, are determined to just self-inflicted wounds to just make sure that any reconciliation between them and Aaron Rodgers just won't happen. They are just determined to make sure it doesn't happen. Mark Murphy,
you, Aaron Rodgers,
the Packers president, in remarks the other day, said that Aaron Rodgers is, quote, a complicated fella.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to smooth things over.
Right. I don't know that he's that complicated. When you lie as an organization to his face, he doesn't like it. I don't know that's complicated, right? Like when you say that, hey, Aaron Rodgers checked off on Jordan Love, and then a day later, Aaron Rodgers, like, nobody ever asked me about anything. Nobody talked to me about that. That's what we call lying. Like, you don't have to involve people in, you know, in management decisions. You know, but if you tell them, if you tell your star player that they're going to consult with you before they take a guy, and then they take a guy that plays your position, and they don't tell you about it after they tell you they're going to use you as a consultant, that'll get you a little bit fired up. They're a mess, dude. I can't. What time does Rodgers sign here?
Get traded here.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to sign. When does he get traded?
It's gonna happen. He's gonna get traded. It's just a matter of when. Okay, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat joins us coming up. Jimmer, is he gonna take a victory lap? Is he going to laugh and pound his chest and say, look at me, I was right, in the wake of the Avalanche and Nugget demises? He'll join us next. James, don't call me Jimmy or Jimmer Merrillat joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. So is this your moment to take a victory lap? Reveling in the demise of the Avalanche, Nuggets, Jared Bednar, and Mike Malone?
No. Look, I'm a fan of both the teams. I sat and watched all 8 of the games with my boys, and we were rooting hard for the local teams to win. So I don't feel anything positive today. I'm not happy about it by any means, but is there a little bit of I told you so? Yeah. I mean, when the Avs were rolling, you know, I had people bringing up a column I wrote 2 years ago and throwing it up in my face saying, hey, the Avs have plateaued. Well, here we are, 3 straight years losing in the second round. This time you only get to 6 games. That appears to kind of be the case. And look, I didn't expect the Nuggets to win in the second round. I thought they should beat the Blazers. I thought that was a reasonable expectation, and they did. I didn't think they would advance past Phoenix. I thought this round was gravy. But, man, when you get swept and you really aren't competitive in any of the games, I mean, I know yesterday was within 10, but they only led at the 2-0 mark. They never led after that. That to me, is not being particularly competitive. I think the series against Phoenix does bring up a lot of questions. Nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to be critical of Michael Malone for some reason. But, you know, there are a lot of red flags, and I think the way both these teams went out, I think it just waves those in front of all of our faces. And if we ignore those, okay, we're just setting ourselves up for the exact same thing next year.
So let me focus on the Nuggets really quick. What changes if they have Murray, if they have a healthy backcourt, you know, if Barton is healthy for the whole series? Does it change the outcome of this series, do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, I think they're more competitive. I don't think they get swept, because I think they have some guys who can hit some shots and make some plays. But to me, and it's the column I just posted on DenverFan.com, I think the Nikola Jokic ejection is an example of what ails the Nuggets. And what ails the Nuggets is they're not a very smart basketball team. Like, I don't think he should have been kicked out of the game for that. But to suggest that because he's upset with the call, running after Cameron Payne 96 feet from the basket and taking a swipe at him isn't dumb basketball is ridiculous. Of course it was dumb basketball. It's a dumb play. Even if all you get called for is a foul, it's a dumb play. Go down to the defensive end and you know, commit a hard foul on somebody, take out your frustration. Like, I get all those things, but it's dumb basketball. And when you compare that to what the Suns did, which every time down, it was the same play. It was to get Chris Paul the little 12-footer. We saw it felt like 200 times yesterday. I know it wasn't that many, but it felt like it. And the Nuggets, take this as an example, Mark. The last 3:20 of the first half, DeAndre Ayton gets his third foul. He goes and sits on the bench at Sargent, Garden, Jokic. They should go to Jokic in the post every single time down in the final 3:20. That should be what they do. They did it once. Instead, they're firing up jump shots. Monte Morris is airballing threes. It's like that's the problem with this team. They're not a smart basketball team. They're just not. Now, you can blame the players. You can blame the coaches. I think it goes all the way around, but Phoenix, especially with Chris Paul, they put on a clinic in terms of how to play basketball and how to play playoff basketball. The Nuggets have no clue. They don't. They have a ton of talent, but they have no clue how to play the game. And Jokic's ejection, their constant struggles in the third quarter this season, what they did at the end of the first half, Michael Porter Jr. firing up jump shot after jump shot after jump shot instead of taking the ball to the hoop when he's 6'10". I mean, I could go on and on and on. They're a frustrating team to watch because they don't play smart basketball, and you can't win in the postseason if you don't do that.
Okay, James, when you look at the Avs and Nuggets, does Jared Bednar and Michael Malone need to get the John Fox treatment?
I think so. I do. I tweeted this over the weekend with regard to the Avalanche. These teams, and so it applies to both, these teams are million-dollar homes where for some reason they cut a corner and put in linoleum instead of tile. Nothing wrong with linoleum, but like if you're building a million-dollar home, that seems a silly place to cut a corner, right? And so these teams have these great rosters, really, really good rosters. They have some great players. They have stars. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon is as good as anybody in the NHL, and clearly Nikola Jokic is as good as anybody in the NBA. And you're going cheap with your head coaches? I mean, okay, but you kind of get what you pay for, right? You got guys that are in the bottom third in payroll in both those leagues. You know, you can make the argument the Avs went cheap at goaltender too. I mean, they don't have a guy that's in the top 10 there. So those two spots, head coach and goaltender, questionable. I think it's strange. I think both those guys were good hires to get these teams from non-playoff teams to perennial contenders. Are they the right guys to get them from perennial contenders to title winners? Well, they've shown us nothing to suggest that they are. I think that would be the appropriate thing. It's not going to happen, and that's not going to be a popular opinion in this town, and I get that it's pointing the finger at those two guys when there's blame to go all around, but yeah, they've shown me nothing to suggest that next year's going to be any different with those two guys at the helm.
Okay, check out everything that James has going on. I will be back. I'll get you a column here in the next day. The return of the Evans columns.
Drop the mic. Returns tomorrow.
Wait a minute. Did you come up with a topic? Because last week we talked about this. He wasn't quite sure what the topic was.
I needed to wait to see what happened with the Evans and Nugs. I think it's self-explanatory. I can already tell you. Actually, I just got the idea from my column just listening to James. I'm going to completely disagree with James.
Uh-huh. Perfect. So, that's what makes it great, Mike.
So get ready for a column where I completely disagree with James Merrilat.
Wait, but somebody disagreeing with me? That'll be odd.
Can you call him Jimmy all the way through the article?
But I thank you for coming on, James. Thank you.
You bet, fella.
Thanks, James. James Merrilat joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. All right, what about it? Is it as simple as canning the coaches? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.